इति पेशो भगवा अरहं सम्मा संबुद्धो बीजा चरण सम्पन्नो सुगतो लोकविदो अनुत्तरो पुरुषदम्भसारथि सत्तादेवा मनोसानं बुद्धो भगवती स्वागतो भगवता दमो संदितिको अकालिको एहि पासे को ओपानायिको पाज्यतं वेदिता भू विनोहिति सुपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो उजुपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो न्यायपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो सामीचीपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो यदिदं चतरि पुरुषयुगानि अत्र पुरुषपुगला एषा भगवतो सावकसाङ्गो आहुनेयो बाहुनेयो दक्षिणेयो अञ्जलिकरणीयो अनुत्तरं पुण्यं केतं लोकसाति साधु साधु साधु. Okay, so we'll continue from where we stop. I have a drink first. Okay, so we were at the second paragraph. Now let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. We shall now share and dedicate all these merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Then we chant the closing puja, the usual closing puja, then we finish. Okay, so that was the end of the lesson 75. But we have a final summary, 3.4. So these lessons outline, short notes prepared by Kayamitas after the class. So the outline short note for lesson 75 or the six patriots Dhamma dual platform sutta dated 27 May 2018 is as follow. So it's about 4.5 years ago. Okay. The first short note, which summarizes what we have developed and covered, is very important. Based on all the sharing thus far, I think most Kayamita will have understood what that self-nature is. Our self-nature or our true nature, or sometimes they call it our original nature, is actually the oneness nature. Source of all things. That's why in the poem by the sixth patriarch, he said, originally there is nothing. Where can the dust alight? So the famous four stanza verse, the last two stanza was the most important. He actually come up with the understanding that Te Sen Siu's poem completely the path. So Sen Siu was supposed to take over from the fifth patriarch, where he is the foremost disciple of the fifth patriarch. But then Hui Neng came, and Hui Neng been ill, but because of his past, he was actually very extraordinary in his understanding because of his past cultivation. So when the fifth patriarch actually started off by introducing all those teachings, he has reached a point where he felt that it's time to hand over to somebody, especially Sanxiu, so that he can continue with the teachings. So what happened was, the fifth patriarch asked all the disciples to assemble one day and say, the matter of life and death is very important. Don't go after tainted merit. Make haste in cultivating the true Dhamma. So it is time that you all go through and review all your cultivation and practice, and based on your understanding, if you think you are qualified and you can become the next patriarch to take over from him, then write me a verse, so that I can, based on the verse, transmit the patriarchship to the new person. So everybody was full of joy. Then they decide to only allow Sanxiu to write, because the rest say there is no way we can reach that level. So they expect Sanxiu to write. But at that time, Huining was at the kitchen helping out. He didn't know about the news, the announcement, where he never go to the Great Hall. Then Sanxiu was very excited, but felt ashamed if he were to write it. They may think he's arrogant. So he decided to wait for the middle of the night to actually went there and write on the wall and wait for the next morning dawn, when the patriarch, the fifth patriarch, came to read about it. If he confirmed his understanding and achievement, then he will come out and profess that he is the one who wrote that four stanza. So Sanxiu wrote based on his understanding. At that time, he has not realized his self nature, his true nature. He doesn't understand what the true mind is. But he has this cultivation. He had understood most of the Dhamma at the thought level, at the mundane mind level. So to him, he thought that is the cultivation that is needed. So his poem was actually quite useful, but not penetrative enough. So he wrote on the wall. He said, Bohi, he said, our body is like a Bohi tree. Sing Lu Pu Ti Su. Then our mind is like a mirror bright on the stand. That one is the mundane mind. He didn't understand, because at that time he never penetrated the mundane mind. That's why he said, our mind is like a mirror bright on the stand, because it keeps on reflecting things. Then he said, this mirror we must polish until it shines, so that no dust can alight. So to Sanxiu, based on his poem, he believed cultivation is like what the Buddha mentioned to the Theravada tradition. Avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. So he thought the mundane mind is the mind. That's why he said, that mind is like a mirror bright, very bright on the stand, that reflect all things. And he said, we must mindfully polish that mirror until it is really, really bright. Polish until it shines so that no dust can align. Means ever mindful to have that awareness, not to allow defilement to come in. So he thought that was the cultivation. Then when Hui Ning heard about the Novik monk that passed by reciting this poem, he realized the poem was not penetrative enough. So he inquired, he said, where can I see or read this? So they took him to the hall. Then when he read, he asked somebody to read it for him. Then he said, I also have a poem to write. So everybody was shocked because his was more penetrative. So when he started to write, every stanza of his actually counters and seals. The first one, our body is like a Bowie tree. It tear it apart. He said, Pu Ti Peng Wu Su, means Bohi is fundamentally not a tree, because Bohi is wisdom. How can it be a tree? But Sensu is not wrong, because at the Theravada level, you can see that it's already quite wise and quite beautiful in your cultivation and progress, because he knew our physical body has the four foundation of mindfulness, where we can cultivate the four foundation within this phantom length body. Like the Buddha said, we have the physical kaya, that's like kaya nupasana, the first foundation. You anchor your mindfulness to the kaya. Then we have feeling, that's like vedana nupasana. Then we have the mundane mind, chitta. That's why there is this chitta nupasana. We can use it to cultivate mindfulness of the chitta, the content of consciousness. Then finally, there is also dhamma within our body. The five aggregates of form and mind, all the essential dhamma, everything, they manifest from this body. So in a way, our body is like a Bodhi tree, where we can use it like the Buddha, sat under it and become enlightened. But that is the mundane mind. If you use that mundane mind and cultivate like that, you cannot realize the true mind. Maybe sinhood way possible, yes. Then the next stanza is also very penetrative. Since you say, Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai, means the true mind is neither the mirror bright nor the stand. Because that is the mundane mind, that is not the true mind. Then he add in the last two stanza. He said, originally there was nothing. Ben Lai Wu Yu He Chu Re Chen Lai. If originally it was nothing, then where can the dust align? If there is no mundane mind, no need to polish, no need to do anything, no duality, nothing. So who created the dust? The mundane mind that is deluded created duality through its own ignorance and delusion. So that poem was fantastic. That's why the summary is very good. We go back to the sharing notes, then you will understand. That's why Hui Ning later on, after he met the fifth patriarch before he left that that way place, he mentioned, he told the fifth patriarch, how amazing is it that our self nature is already perfect? Nothing is apart from our self nature. Because all Dhamma arise from the self nature. That's why in the final summary, the short note, I summarize it for you all. The self nature or the true nature is actually the oneness nature, source of all things. From there, all things arise. The mundane mind, everything arises. Then that self nature or original nature or true nature or our true mind, there is nothing inside there, because that nature is just an awareness nature. It can only be aware. It cannot know thing. It has got no mind aggregate. It has got no thought process, no content of consciousness. It is just empty. Empty means the unconditioned. That's why Hui Ning understood is that originally there is nothing. Bun Lai, Wu Yu. Then where can the dust arise? He Chu, He Sanai. So there is the profound meaning. Then note number two. Dust here means defilements or unwholesome mind state. Means our defilement, which are expressed in words, in concept, and we call it duality, where dualities are defilements. Yeah. Wherever there is duality, there is defilement. Mm. It arises because of duality created by the mundane mind via words, via concepts and ideas. The mundane mind creates the duality of good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, right and wrong, etc. And because of that, cultivators of the way being deluded, they try to keep the good. They try to be right and develop wholesomeness. Then they want to push away unwholesomeness. Whatever that is not good means bad, and not right means wrong. But then they fail to understand the other part of the teaching that the Buddha taught. The Buddha later on in his teaching say, all this duality, they arise because of delusion. That's why he said, imas means sati, idang horti. Then imas means asati, idang arhoti. The meaning is, he said, when this arise, that arise. Then imas means asati, means when this ceases, that ceases. What is the meaning? It's explaining to the monks about duality that we create through our mundane mind. When you create a concept of good, whatever that is not good also manifests. When you have right, there will be wrong. That's why duality is very difficult to root out, because mundane mind created it. Wherever there is wholesome, whatever that is not wholesome will become unwholesome. So it is impossible for them to use the mundane mind to do away with such duality, because the mundane mind is fighting its own creation. Now you understand, huh? Which always come as a pair. Meaning, if one does not create, then things are just the way they are. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad. So that is the reality. That is the direct seeing. Right and wrong, good and bad come from one. The individual's perception, the way you perceive things. Right according to who? Because it's relative. Wrong according to who? Again, it's relative. It's a convention. And these are not ultimate truth. The ultimate truth has got no duality. That's why dust is an illusion created by the mundane mind. Okay, we go on to the next one. Then number three, this is also very important. If the mundane mind does not create duality via delusion, then the true mind can see things as they are. This is a very important understanding. When you are just aware, that is your true mind, your silent mind, no movement, nothing. But the moment is stirred, the mundane mind arises. So if this mundane mind does not have delusion, then it will not stir. It will remain equanimous, upekkha. That's why it will not create duality. It will see things as they are. You will accept the reality of the moment and be at peace. That's it. Well, within that moment, that is the cause. There are causes and conditions behind, and it cannot be otherwise. So you have to come to terms with that reality. It means they are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. That's why I always taught you all, deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Angry people do angry things. They are just the way they are. There is no right, no wrong. But to them, that is what is proper. But they are so conditioned. Their character, their belief system, their views, their opinion, their conditioning. That is what they are. So when you understand all this, you penetrate the Dhamma, you awaken and you become different. That's why you will realize your true mind, your silent mind. Then you can be like Hui Ning. You can understand all this. Okay, then we move on to number four. Number four is also very important. There is one, the fifth patriarch told Hui Ning. He said, we must learn to use the mundane mind and yet not be deceived or deluded by it. Well, the user of this mundane mind is very important. If the user of the mundane mind does not have wisdom, then whatever activity it arises will follow his own delusion. That's why if the user is ignorant, thought become wrong thought. If the user of the mundane mind has wisdom, then thought become right thought, which is what the Buddha taught under Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. But as far as the conditional is concerned, we need to understand that there is such thing as life, conditioned Dhamma and unconditioned Dhamma. So conditioned Dhamma has its own reality. So we need to use the mundane mind. Well, to exist, we need the mind. We need the mind to communicate, to express ourselves, to live life, to cultivate, to do a lot of things. If the user of that mundane mind has wisdom, then this mind will serve us well. Then we will know how to make use of it. Means you must learn how to use or make use of this mundane mind and yet not be deceived or deluded by it. So when you don't have delusion, this becomes very clear, very easy to comprehend. But most people without the wisdom, they have not awakened. That's why they don't know how to use the mundane mind. They keep on entangling themselves. But this mundane mind that has delusion, Sakayaditi will keep on creating the unwholesome mind state. Means the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion born of Sakayaditi, self-delusion, will always be there. So this is the meaning. Eh? Then number five is what the fifth patriarch told them. Do not waste time on tinta merit. instead walk towards awakening via the silent mind. The reason why the Vipitya mentioned it is because most of the cultivators of the way, even the temple disciples and all, so he realized they were more interested in developing merit. Yeah. But before you become enlightened, all this merit or doing good are tinted merits. We are tinted with sakadity, self-delusion behind. Good according to who? Good according to you may not be the actual good. So when it comes to cultivation, you need wisdom. That's why without wisdom, I always share with you all, there is no true virtue or true wholesomeness or goodness. You need to have wisdom behind. Otherwise, whatever merits that you develop, they are always tinted with that sakadity, the atta, the self there. Means out of greed or selfishness in the inverted comma sense, because you believe this is doing merit, wholesomeness. So out of greed for these merits or that desire to realize or develop all this wholesomeness and merit, you do. Your action is what? Your action is you do because of the greed behind, because you desire that merge, that wholesomeness. But cultivator of the way, they understand it differently. They do because there is condition to do, and they understand that doing all this without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is a natural progress or consequence of good cultivation based on understanding. That's why when there is condition to do, they will do. They will not purposely want to do or desire to do. Means that craving to do is with a motive behind. Means you crave to develop it so that you can have merit. Means the atta is there. There is a being or an entity behind. Means it's like Huining's hallmark. Yeah. You have the mark of a cell cultivating. You have the mark of a cell developing merit. Yeah. Cultivating wholesomeness. Cultivating wisdom. So that sakadity, self-delusion, is very difficult to root out. Then not only no mark of a self-cultivating, you must also develop the penetrative awakening to realize that all living beings are non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why there is no mark of others. Then the third penetrative understanding is when you realize there is no mark of existence, life, Dhamma, everything. What is mark? Whatever that is created by the mundane mind is a mark. So you attach and cling on to mark, then you cannot realize the second hallmark of winning, which is beyond mark. Yeah. So the three hallmarks of winning wisdom are very important cultivation. The first hallmark is to cultivate the state of no thought, wu nian. So once you can cultivate up to the stage of no thought, means you are just aware, mindful, without thought. And that is your true mind. When you realize your true mind, that is the beginning of cultivation. Then stabilize it so that you can make use of it to develop the direct seeing, the awakening, the insight, the phenomena. And this is what awareness-based cultivation is all about. Not the thought. You cannot use thought. Yeah. So all these are very important Understanding, huh? So the first hallmark is no thought, wu nian. Then wu xiang. Wu xiang is no mark. Like I explained just now. No mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others, and no marks of even Dhamma and everything else. Then after that, when you continue to develop the wisdom, locate your gateway, penetrate your gateway, then realize the collapse of the mundane mind. Then when your true mind or true nature suddenly surface, well, when the mundane mind collapse and cease, the true mind will surface and arise. Then only you can realize the third hallmark of winning, which is the completely different type of cultivation. He called it wu zhu, no dwelling, where your mundane mind is no more, that's why it cannot dwell, it cannot hold on to things, it cannot stay. So the third hallmark of healing is not easy. You have to go the bodhisattva way to realize it. The first two hallmarks are relatively much easier. Okay, then I move on to number six. Story of Bodhidharma transmitting the Dhamma from India to China was shared by Brian Tilma. This one is just for the notes. You want to understand the full sharing, you must go to the recording where I also cannot remember what I spoke. Then number seven, enlightenment. What is enlightenment? Enlightenment is to awaken to the self nature or our true nature or original nature. It means to realize the unconditioned. That's why there is the realization of Nibbana. It's not about just sitting without understanding, becoming very calm or still like a statue. So enlightenment is always related to awakening, to insight, to a realization. It's not from the thought. Then number eight. Start from basic, that is, understanding that everything arises from that self nature, including the mundane mind. That's why in the Mahayana tradition, they always say, sing wei ken bat. You have to start with mind. So start from basic means start from the mind. Develop the understanding that the true mind, the true nature, the self nature is very different. From there, all things arise. You have to realize that, including the mundane mind. Then the reason is, for mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. Whether something is wholesome or unwholesome, the duality, they all arise from the mundane mind. So we have to have the understanding. That is how you start. Okay, we move on. Then, that's short note number nine. There is a nature that is independent of thinking. All beings are connected to that self nature or true nature, which is never born. And because it's never born, hence it never gets sick, never get old or die. For this is the eternal nature. Never born means originally that nature was there, even before the arising of the mundane mind. The first thought of ignorance, that condition, the primordial darkness, thinking process. Then number 10. When one understands this, one will be able to cultivate and meditate accordingly. So this understanding is very important because when you start from basic, you inquire into mind, then you see the two types of mind. Then when you understand, that there is the true mind and the silent mind, versus the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the creative, dependent originating mind, then it's very easy for you to cultivate. So when one understands this, one will be able to cultivate and meditate accordingly. If one does not understand, then one is just following instruction blindly. Meditation is not about whether one is doing it right or wrong. But one must understand what one is doing in the name of meditation or cultivation. Then note 11. The mundane mind needs to be trained via mindfulness to realize the true mind or the silent mind. So this is a must. You have to understand this. So don't try to stop the mundane mind or force it not to think, because the one that do it is the thought. When thought is active, how can the thinking stop? So do understand this. So the mundane mind need to be trained is because it need to understand that this one is the thinking mind, not your true mind. So you need to anchor it to something. That's why the first foundation of mindfulness training is kaya nupasana. You anchor it into the kaya. When you are always aware with the movement and activity of your kaya, like the four posture, of your physical movement and activity, every physical movement activity, including the blinking of your eye, the bending, turning, stretching, movement, everything. When you can do that, then you are just aware and mindful most of the time without thought. That's how you train. It's just like bowing. Body and mind move as one. Chanting. The chanting, and the mantra, the awareness and the mantra do the chanting until finally no one to chant. That's why there is the training of the mundane mind to just be aware. And the reason why people introduce meditation object or what they call methods and technique is because they don't know how to stop the thinking mind from continuing to become heedless, to proliferate, to stop that thinking. So what they do is they come out with method, technique, and meditation object to anchor the mind, to fix the mind so that it does not wander off. That's why all meditation become like that. Method and technique. Object of meditation. But when you understand, actually, technically, I use the word technically, you don't need it. But most people are so conditioned. Without method, technique, and object of meditation, they realize they can't meditate. They don't know what to do because their mundane mind is deludedly, actively trying to do meditation. They think to meditate, there must be a being to meditate. So, who created that being? The mundane mind, through the thought, created the meditator. So, the meditator wants to meditate. The meditator wants to know. The meditator wants to note, focus, concentrate, and do all those things. And if you do it without understanding, it becomes thought-based. That's why they cannot realize. So the training is to train the mundane mind not to think, not to wonder. That's why I taught you all the four support. Relax. Aware, maintain awareness, then trust. So these four are support for awareness-based meditation. You do that, technically you don't need a method or a technique or an object of meditation. But most people cannot do it because they fail to understand the true mind, the silent mind. So these are very important understanding. Then I also taught you all the mind sweeping method. Relax, away, away, finish, away, finish, like the mind sweeping method. train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, you'll be at the forehead. Then relax into it and maintain mindfulness or awareness. Yeah. Then you feel, you just feel any tension, tightness or stress within, relax. When you relax, you free the mind. You free your grasping, the clinging, the holding on. Yeah, you don't want to know, don't want to do anything. Just let things be silent. That's how you meditate. Okay? Yeah. Then number 12. Not until there is mindfulness, there is no real meditation that can lead to wisdom. This is very true. That's why you have to stabilize your mindfulness too. You have to be completely silent, quiet, peaceful. Then number 13, just relax and be silent. Develop the five spiritual faculties to overcome the mental hindrance. First, if there is still thinking, it's because sati is lacking and the untrained mind is heedless, it thinks a lot. So no problem, just accept it and just be aware. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then it will return. It will silent by itself. So use the heart or awareness within to be aware of external things. Observe without views, opinion, and the thought process. Just silent your mind to observe. That is the direct seeing. That is how you learn to see things as they are. Be with the moment in silent awareness more and more, more and more. When you are just silently aware, you will develop stability of mindfulness. Yeah. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just maintain the training of Kayanupassana. Then number 15, don't be too eager to know about one's progress, because that itself is a form of craving. If you have cultivated correctly, then condition will unfold naturally. Then note number 16, in the midst of life, cultivate the daily mindfulness. They learn to see the physical, mental, and nature's flow within nature. This one is very important. Huh? When your mindfulness stabilizes, you need to do it in the midst of life. Your mindfulness should be so stable that it can have the ability to see nature's flow, your own physical and mental flow within your own nature. If there is mindfulness, thought does not arise. But when thought do arise, just be aware and do not allow it to continue or proliferate into a chain of heedless thinking. So this is a very important understanding. Huh? If there is mindfulness, when you are aware, there is no thought. So this is very beautiful. Huh? Okay, number 17. Note number 17. Thinking ahead while doing our intended bodily action or movement is not being mindful at all. Try doing one thing at a time with full awareness. Be with the moment in silent awareness more and more, so that this heedless thinking will be reduced. Learn to live life instead of always thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Or lost in thought. Number 18. Try not to accumulate via memory so that the brain has space. And this one very important. Especially those psychological memories, like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your scars of memories, your insecurity, etc. Instead, write them down or jot them down so as to be free from the need to use memory. Whatever unfinished thing, write it down. Things that you have to attend to, write it down. Don't have to carry it in your memory. No thought means no duality, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Also no restlessness of mind, etc. Then number 19, note number 19, tranquility, silence, and clarity of mind will lead us to see things as they are, leading to wisdom. So this one is the characteristics of a true mind. Then short note number 20. When there is awakening, the wisdom that arises will be connected to our form and mind. The form and mind, or our five aggregate, which is a human being, then is no longer deluded. One can then say it has become enlightened. However, this form and mind is not you, and it is still subject to the law of karma. This must be understood so that one can cultivate correctly. Because this form and mind, or the so-called human being, is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's not you, anatta, non-self. Then note 21. Enlightenment has nothing to do with whether one has completely exhausted one's bad karma or not. This one is a very important right view. There are a lot of people who are deluded. They think if I continue to endure until all my bad karma finish, then without any more bad karma, that being can become enlightened. That is a delusion. Then, two aspects of the middle way or middle path. The first is to avoid the two extremes of self-mortification and sensual indulgence that is mentioned in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon as proclaimed by Sakyamuni Buddha. Then the second aspect is to transcend duality via wisdom. And duality is to be understood. But duality pertains to the conditioned world. That one also needs to be understood. Because there is a conditioned world, there is light. That's why there is duality. And duality only pertains to the conditioned world. In the unconditioned Dhamma, there is no duality. That's why there is no problem, no confusion. Then next one is avijja, or ignorance, leads to heedless thinking because of the first two link, avijja paccaya sankhara. Dependent on ignorance, activity of mind, sankhara, arises. So be aware of this mental activity via mindfulness to develop wisdom, to straighten one's view so that one can weaken such heedless thinking. That's why you can attenuate your avijja, reduce your ignorance, your wrong view, your sakyarity. Then there will be less sankhara activity. That's why mindfulness to observe, to see is very important. When you observe, see, and develop the understanding, then you can root it out. Then it will not stir and cause your mundane mind to react in that manner anymore. Because that is a clarity, long view. The real meditation will always bring one back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So always reflect and contemplate until the Dhamma is very, very clear. Then note 25. The first and second Noble Truth are the mundane aspect of life. So this one is a good revision. The first Noble Truth explains the reality of life and existence. That is the eight reality leading to dukkha. If one lacks wisdom, then suffering will be the result. Then the first Noble Truth is also about the prevalence of suffering if one confronts them without proper Dhamma understanding. Then the second Noble Truth, the cause of arising or suffering is craving born of sakyarity or self-delusion. Then the third Noble Truth is very clear. Suffering need not be. Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. So this one is very important. Then the fourth Noble Truth, cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. And this is mundane cultivation, leading to the realization of the supramundane. So The third and fourth noble truth, they are mainly supramundane Dhamma. Then note number 30. Question by Sister Adeline. Can Brahadeva explain how can one overcome or transcend duality in cultivation? Then there's another question by Sister Ingby. According to Brahadeva, Noble Eightfold Path still have duality, right? Reason why Brahadeva said in the last Tuesday and Thursday classes that the fourth noble truth is about cultivating Noble Eightfold Path, bracket, mundane cultivation, leading to supramundane. This is the realization of Nibbana. Then can Brahadeva explain this further? So these were beautiful questions. I remember I answered them in the sutta. Then there's a question by Sister Lee also. What does one need to do once a silent mind cultivation has been developed? That one also a very good question. So you might have to listen to the recording. But this question 32, Miss Leon, maybe I can cover it today. I still have some time. What does one need to do once the silent mind cultivation has been developed? Miss, you have the ability to develop the silent mind, Miss, to stabilize your sati already, your awareness already. Then the question is, what must one do? What do you think? What must you do? What must you do based on your understanding thus far? Anybody want to try?
Ratio.
Oh yeah, Amy, yes.
Don't do anything, Ratio.
Do. Wow, very good. Sadhu. Yeah,
by not doing anything, only we can keep on keep the awareness sharp. And
stabilize it, sharpen it, sadhu. Very good, Ingvi. Very good. Thank you. So that one is very, very important. You don't understand that, you go and follow what other people advise you. I remember there's one tradition. They say when your meditation object become very subtle, very quiet, everything become very still already, then go and do sitting touching. Please. Find it out yourself. Don't be gullible. The doing is by the thought. You are trying to activate the thing again. You're supposed to develop the stability of it until it is very stable. Until you understand what the true mind is, what the silent mind is. Then that mind, which is always aware and mindful, like NBDA or they know, it will insight into phenomena. That ability to have that extraordinary refined awareness or mindfulness can allow you to be very sensitive. You can actually see a lot of things, understand a lot of things, awaken to a lot of things. The direct seeing, the insight into phenomena, even when you were observing, whether it's physical phenomena, mental phenomena, or nature's phenomena, suddenly that silent mind will awaken. It will awaken to the three universal characteristics. It will understand. Then when it silently observes without movement, it will understand clearly who you are, what you are, and how you function as a living being. How duality has been created through your wrong view, your mental conditioning, your whatever accumulated phobia and all those things. Then you see how they get released from your memory. Because when you are trying to rest, especially when you are trying to sleep, the subconscious and the unconscious, they have to like come out. So that release is for your mind or your memory and mundane mind to have order so that you will recuperate. Otherwise, you can go cuckoo. You hold on to all this too strongly. Because all your fear, your phobia, Your insecurity and all those things, whatever like and dislike, whatever wrong emotion that you hold and allow it to accumulate and get trapped, you need to release that, especially your phobias, castle memory, all those things. Otherwise, it becomes very potent, very, very potent and very strong. It keep on coming out. That's why people can have insomnia, cannot sleep, depression, the cuckoo not thought, all those words. So mindfulness is to enable one to see all this, understand all this, and reverse all this. Because when you have mindfulness, it cannot think, it cannot accumulate, it cannot do things. Then you realize without thought, you are the most beautiful. That's why I ask you to inquire, without thought, who are you? What are you? You are nothing. You are nobody. You are that nature inside that. Understand or not? That's why Hui Ning knew. Originally, there was nothing. 本来无有. Because without thought, you are nothing. You are nobody. There is no even egoic mind or thought to proclaim the ego. How can there be anything? That's why you must have the stability of mindfulness. When your silent mind has been developed, continue to stabilize it by not doing anything. Just stay. Allow it to become very quiet and very still. Then everything will happen by itself. That's why the awareness nature is very powerful. That one, once you stabilize it and realize it, you become so beautiful. Okay? So this is really beautiful. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And thank Ingbi for the good understanding. So okay, we end. Now we can have our next 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. We will off the light so that you all can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. I will set the alarm. Okay. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. We will continue from our second session, which is meditation reporting. And followed by whatever question one may have. You can ask me whatever question regarding the meditation. Pocheng, are you there?
Hello, Amitofo, Patio,
Amitofo,
and Okayamitas.
Yeah.
Patio, who is Jade online?
Jade, I think it's somebody new.
Somebody new. Okay.
I also.
Who is on the physical class?
Jin Hao, Chipolian, Manyuan, and my
okay. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about today's sharing.
Can?
Before I nominate somebody, is it okay?
Yes, can, no problem.
Right now, I want to talk about this. Today's sharing actually is very, very good, you know. Can you hear?
Yeah, very good. It's very good.
You know, it's like a summary of everything that we learn about meditation.
Yeah, the cultivation. Yes.
Yes. And in some part of it is so profound. That normal thought-based cultivation will not understand, you know, brother.
Definitely. Yes. Those who use the thought, they can't follow.
Because they did not establish that kind of silent mind that Brother Teo talked about, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So because initially when I do the meditation, right, Brother Teo, I don't understand all these things, you know, that
right,
Brother Teo
talked right.
about. Because you cannot achieve it, you cannot realize it, therefore you cannot understand this profound awareness-based meditation.
Yes.
Okay, but once you get into this awareness-based meditation, right? Like Brother Teo said, you know, if you do not stabilize it, you cannot also achieve the kind of realization, the deep realization.
True, very true, yes.
Yes. So you only the surface, you all touch the surface.
Yeah.
Cannot go into the deep.
Correct.
Meditation.
That's why they call it the superficial Dhamma. You cannot penetrate the true Dhamma. Because without the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within, you cannot insight into phenomena. You cannot develop the right understanding. Because Dhamma knowledge and the true awakening of Dhamma are two different things, very, very different. That's why those who do thought based on, they can never comprehend what the awareness-based people do. But the awareness-based people who has developed it until certain stability and understanding, then they can understand why people cannot develop the correct cultivation. It's a big difference because thought-based cultivation and awareness-based meditation is world apart. Especially those who got no other means of understanding, they have to rely on the thought. And I really cannot blame most people because most people are not taught about what is thought-based and what is awareness-based. It's not easy. And it's not everybody can teach this type of meditation awareness-based. Yeah, unless the individual who has developed the awareness-based cultivation and realized the Dhamma, he will not be able to understand too, not to say share. So what they normally share is more of thought-based theoretical Dhamma. Of course, I don't deny you use the thought. You can also realize the sainthood way, but the awakening or enlightenment is more of the contemplative wisdom, the second turning contemplative wisdom. Because the third turning, which is the penetrative one, is not easy. So most of them is through hearing the first turning. Then after that, they read up, they contemplate, they reflect. Then they try to stabilize their understanding, but they use a lot of memories to do that. And this one becomes accumulated understanding, which is mainly Dhamma knowledge, with some form of maybe very superficial Dhamma understanding. Then they realize a lot of this so-called Dhamma that they have understood in inverted comma, they find it very difficult to realize it, to be able to live it, to make it a living reality. And that is very, very often the case, I realize. That's why a lot of people told me, Isabel, after we listened to your talk, we only came to realize that the true cultivation, the true Dhamma is not easy. Because they realize, like what I say, to have the Dhamma understanding and able to translate into a living reality means the Dhamma become a part of you is really almost, to them, is not possible. They heard of it, but they cannot do it because they don't know what the awareness base is. So for your case, also same, Pucheng, because you have done it. That's why you can understand. That's why you appreciate the sharing. It's so profound. It's so beautiful. But not everybody can really develop the understanding or can follow what I share. So that part is very, very true. Sadhu Tio. Good.
The other thing, Brother Tio, I want to say is,
comes
to meditation, the formal meditation is very, very important. You need to stabilize it, stabilize your meditation in formal meditation to understand, like Brother Tio always emphasize, understand what is our true nature, the true mind.
That one very
Once
important.
You stabilize it in the formal meditation, you see again and again and again. When it comes to the cultivation of in the midst of daily life, it helps you tremendously, It helps you tremendously in the sense that when you are tested or when you encounter life situation,
yes, very true.
You know what to do, and
because that nature that has realized it has the understanding. That's why this Yoni Somanasikara, which is the true Dhamma understanding, the penetrating one, you need the silent mind to awaken to it one, so for it to be stable. Then when you have it, that being may sometimes don't have the inkling that they already have it. But when they meet with situation or encounter a real life situation or problem, they know what to do, like what you came to experience. And that is the true Dhamma, the beauty of that Yoniso Manasikara. Means true Dhamma wisdom that arise within the moment. At the moment of sense experience. That's why Yoni So Manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience or attention. So that one can only manifest spontaneously if you have the Dhamma within your nature. You have awakened to it, you have realized it, or you have contemplated deep into it and stabilized it. And then that one will manifest. It will teach you how to act. Then you're no longer like the normal deluded living being who will act following memory, according to memory, which is according to your own views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and also whatever wrong view, especially sakkayadity. Because what is memory? Your fear, your phobia, they are all accumulated. Your scars of memory, your insecurity, your like and dislike, your delusion, everything is inside that. So acting according to memory is not acting at all, because you cannot act with memory. With memory, you got a lot of psychological rubbish inside that, or the negative tendency. So one has to act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha, following the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. That is true action. Means you act based on understanding. When I understand, the action becomes spontaneous. I don't have to think. I don't have to recall from memory. I just know through the awakening, through the understanding, that it just acts on its own. That it will understand what is allowable, what is not allowable. There is no more delusion to do otherwise. So all this is the uniqueness of the true Dhamma. That's why the Buddha say, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. And this Dhamma is Sanditiko, Akaliko, Ehipaseko, Opanaiko, Pachetang, Veditatpo, Vinohiti. Means can be realized by the voice, each for themselves. That's why they know, they understand, and no need to check with anybody else. Yeah, that is the uniqueness, the characteristics of this Dhamma. Because we will know when we realize it. It's sanditiko. Here and now, no need to wait till after that to realize it. Then akaliko is timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. That ehipasiko is stand up to investigation. You can actually investigate into it and realize the truth of it. That's why all these are very beautiful. Yeah, Pochek, you can continue. Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps this Dhamma, I call that the salutation to the Dhamma, is so true in the sense that, especially when you stand up to investigation, your faith and virya is so strong.
Become very strong.
Strengthen your faith and virya to follow the path that your mind is unshakable, because you're able to investigate and stand up to investigation, you know, and it makes your life so beautiful. I won't say that, I don't know how to say it in a way that is truly accurate. But
yeah,
what I'm trying
to
say is you don't suffer mentally, but
the thing
will come, the karma will come and hit you, but you will not.
Yeah, but you are
anymore above
it. You cannot be deluded.
You go beyond it.
You will accept it and you will confront it and you can go through it. No problem. Like what you went through earlier on was very beautiful.
Yes, exactly. Right. So the karma will hit you, but you are free from the suffering.
You can be
and
free from the effect.
You can see and stand up to that investigation.
Correct.
So beautiful, you know, Baratio.
Yes.
So
and normal people cannot take such a shock on. For us, no more problem. But we see the penetrative understanding of he know you, he know me.
Yes.
And the condition, the mind, and condition the mind very clear. Then there is no mark to look us. That's why the living Dhamma is so beautiful, so amazing, like what we used to share. It's really amazing.
Yes. So this Dhamma that the Buddha expounded is so beautiful, you know. Every part of it, you can actually experience it and see it for yourself, you know.
That, yeah, true.
Yes, through your day-to-day living as well, you know, not just through meditation, you know, it's through day-to-day living, you know, in daily life, you see it, you experience it, and you can go beyond that suffering, you know. That is the most magnificent, you know, part of this Buddha Dhamma, you know.
Yeah.
So you are not afraid, whatever karma that you have done in the past, you no longer afraid of it anymore.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
So because all these can be resolved amicably, you know,
through understanding.
Through
that wisdom
that
is already there.
Cultivated, you know, gradually.
Yes.
So in that sense it's very beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, whatever done in the past, you are able to accept and go through it without suffering in that sense. Okay? And at the same time, while you are living life, you can cultivate and create more beautiful karma in that sense because you have full understanding what is required and the advice of the Buddha. So it's, in a way, you know, like what brothers here, it's a living Dhamma that you can achieve here and now, you know?
Yeah, can be realized and achieved here and now, and you can live it so that it can become a part of you, it become a living reality. And this Dhamma is a living Dhamma, so it's very different.
It's so beautiful, Abhradio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's without words to say how beautiful and magnificent this Buddha Dhamma is, you know.
True.
So, whoever can encounter and learn the Dhamma and cultivate the Dhamma here and now should not waste opportunity, you know, just do it.
Very good advice.
Full faith and virya, you know, to accomplish in this very life, you know, because
next time
you don't know where you are, you know. Make full use of this opportunity, you know, and not waste it and live in vain. That is the message, you know. That is
we must always
remember and not heedlessly live our life, you know.
Anyway,
Brother Teo, I enjoy this Buddha Dhamma so much every day, you know, if I live without learning, you know, living and learning, you know, the Buddha Dhamma is like a waste of my time.
You will come to that understanding,
It's a waste of my time. But every day is a living Dhamma, like you can learn so much from your day-to-day living, whatever you encounter is part of the Dhamma as well, you know.
That's why the living Dhamma is about life, the daily life, like you rightly pointed out. What we share today is very profound. A lot of it is beyond thought, beyond mind. So the thought-based cultivator cannot really follow or understand. But surprisingly, like I explained earlier, there are many, when they listen, maybe they have their past one, then they become interested, no? Even like our friend, brother DK in Singapore, he told me that part that struck him was when he heard me often mentioning that this Dhamma, when you cultivate and realize the awareness based on, it can become a living reality, a living Dhamma. It's not a theoretical Dhamma where you know, but you cannot do it. And a lot of those thought-based ones that I explained just now, that use the first turning wisdom, listening, then reading, contemplation, second turning wisdom, then reflection, then inquiry, they can stabilize their understanding. But the third turning, which is penetrative and awakening, you need to realize a silent mind to awaken to all this and do the four foundation of mindfulness correctly. And that one, very few people can do. That's why most of them, their Dhamma understanding or wisdom is not penetrative enough. So because of that, they have this understanding that a lot of these things that is been mentioned in the sutta can be comprehended theoretically, but to make it a living reality, they find that it's almost impossible. Well, they know themselves, the defilement there, they cannot do anything. Their mind, how they stir and react even after all the Dhamma knowledge, especially the first noble truth reality, when they are hit, they cannot. A lot of them told me in the past. Then I explained to them, because what you did is thought-based. That's why it's not easy to awaken to all this. But the one that we did and we share and we teach on, the awareness based on, when you silence your mind, the cultivation, the training becomes so different. Then when you awaken, it's really the penetrative, the turning one. Most of the time, it's the turning one. Without the awareness, you cannot be heedful. And the heedful, I see, there is very clear. So that understanding will enable one to cultivate, yeah, in a very different way. Otherwise, it will go into the thought base. And the thought base always get entangled. Because they cannot even understand that there are two minds. That one is a very big, I should say, obstruction to cultivation. If you don't know you have two minds, the mundane mind and the silent mind or the true mind, then you cannot progress, you cannot move. And you don't know what sati is the worst. What is mindfulness, awareness and all things. Then whatever the Buddha taught, our chanting or salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, especially salutation to the Dhamma and the Sangha. If you cannot comprehend all this, then you cannot comprehend the true teaching, where they describe the characteristics of the Dhamma. Like we went through just now, Svakato Bhagavata Dhamma, that one. Then the other one is the salutation to the Sangha, the unique four type of beautiful conduct of an enlightened being of the Buddha, the Aryas. They are of good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct, and dutiful conduct. They do their duty, they know their duty, they know the form and mind is not a permanent unchanging. So all these understanding are not easy to have. So this is how Dhamma, based on true understanding, means awareness-based awakening, the realization is so different. That's why you can describe it, because you have control it. Pujang, sadhu to you. Very good. Today's discussion is very good. You can continue.
Yes, sadhu, right? Yes, it's only through realization of the awareness-based meditation that you can actually understand the Dhamma salutation, the Sangha salutation, and the Buddha salutation, you know. Deep understanding, not the like
not the superficial thought-based type of Dhamma knowledge.
Correct. It's really deep, you know. I mean, I can fully appreciate it, because when I first started, few years ago, I only understand comprehend
the
thought base, the superficial.
Yeah, because you haven't done the awareness based meditation.
Yes, correct. I've not done the awareness based meditation. So through the awareness based meditation, you really can understand the deeper level of this Buddha salutation, the Dharma salutation, and the Sangha salutation.
Yes.
So this today's sharing also, and previous sharing also, Brother Teo also talk about the salutation of the Dharma, the salutation of the Sangha, and all the deep understanding of it.
Yes.
And today's also, Brother Teo also kind of summarize everything, you know, in the
cultivation.
It's a very profound statement, you know. All the statements are very profound, you know.
Yes,
if
that's why Higby was full of joy also, and she straight away answered that question.
Correct. So with that, since Brother Teo mentioned about Sister Higby, right, maybe we shall let Sister Higby share her profound understanding as well.
Higby is there.
Sister
Higby? Amy, are you there? Hello?
I'm taking a couple of drinks.
Oh, no wonder.
Wait for a while. Not beyond expectation, suddenly, coaching call for me. Just now I was meditating and exceed the 45 minutes. That's why I didn't
No problem. I know you can exceed that one, no problem. Yeah, you can go into it very fast.
I think long time I never share. I think today share a bit of my daily
Dhamma experience and cultivation. Yeah, that one is really useful. Yeah,
I share a bit of the daily cultivation.
Yeah, Dhamma in daily life.
Yeah, before that, I thank Sister Po Cheng for nominating me, and I wish Mrs. Teo, and all the staff very good health, happiness, and joy. And also, I wish to say a big thank you to Brother Chin Hao for braving the heavy rain and heavy traffic to go to Brother Chin Hao to set up the Zoom for us. One of the experience in daily life, I was very understand what Brother Teo mentioned, understand the kind of understanding that Brother Teo mentioned is you take care of mind, take care of you.
Oh, that was very beautiful. You can through the daily life understand that my nature was not to heal, because that one is not easy. To realize that in a living reality is not easy. Means they are true cultivator. Yeah. You go ahead in this sadhu.
Because this understanding came to me immediately after the incidents. There was once I was boiling hot water. I was boiling hot water. Then because my flasks are all empty already. I have 3 flasks. So I opened one and put at the kitchen wanted to wait for boiling water to fill up. I was waiting at the living hall there, wait for it to boil. Then suddenly I heard the water is boiled, and then someone pour the hot water into our big container to make it cool down to drink at room temperature, something like that. So I heard it, so I understand. I'm really aware of it. I said, I didn't say I have to reboil again, but I said, ayo, like that. So I was, shall I remain, I'm not thinking of that way, but I said, if I remain like that, then this thing will happen again and again.
Yeah, so I said,
I must do something. So
yeah.
I go in the and something like express my dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
I think
you're right.
Yeah. So I said, and then when I was telling about my own kind of opinions or I want to tell what I think I wanted my way, is it?
Yeah, you will be able to be aware of all this.
Yeah, so I speak only two or three words, then I stop it. I stop moment. So I just smile and then walk away.
Just let things be. They have got condition when you need to arise, only you arise. Because all this, after you have developed the understanding, really, when you take care of mind take care of you, it's very true. Your mindfulness, your awareness, your insight or wisdom will protect you. So sometimes a lot of things, no need to interfere. Too eager to share, too eager to teach, too eager to like want to help people. All these actually are still subtle defilement from the thought behind, lingering. So later on, you will penetrate until you understand. Got condition only, something arise. No condition, nothing arise. Then you can still smile, you can still laugh. So all this is part and parcel of the cultivation. That's why cultivate all the way, when they go through the understanding, they realize it in the daily life. It's so different from theoretical Dhamma. Because this one can be done. And you can, as a cultivator, observe your thought process. How, like you mentioned just now, your views, your conditioning, your belief system, and what they are going to do. Then straight away when you're aware, you realize, oh, this is still sankhara or whatever, then you want to stop. It just stops. It will not continue to proliferate, it will not continue to like dialogue and all those things. But these are all what I used to share with you all, is especially I told Song, analysis, understand not? And who analyzed? The thought analyzed. So the thought try to analyze with so-called understanding. So the thought is very cunning in that aspect. So whatever people do through analysis or reasoning can actually create the delusion behind. So no need to analyze and like reason whether to help or not to help, or like you realize it tell you, if I don't say something in future, maybe this will repeat itself and all say, which is good, that one. But it is still from the thought, understand? It's still an analysis. But when that wisdom stabilizes and you understand that there is condition to say something or to share, you will spontaneously do it. No need to go through the rational thinking and the sankhara movement. Straight away, you will manifest. Then you will know how to accordingly arise, because there is condition. But when there is no condition, we will just observe, smile, like what you did. After you stop, you smile and just let it be. So this is what Dhamma, awareness-based training with the mindfulness developed, stabilized, and the wisdom established. Then you can act in this way. You can understand in this way. You can see, and you will continue to experience more and more of this, until finally when it has completely stabilized, then you can like smile and laugh. Then a lot of things become like ordinary already. No more an issue. It means you have realized the third phase of seeing. Kan san yu si san. You go back to normality. You become normal again. despite the understanding and the Dhamma, you can become a normal person again. And that is the final phase of Pativeda. They call it the friction of it, the stability of it. So all these are a living reality that can happen in life. That's why cultivator all the way, as they go through the cultivation, there's a lot of very beautiful happening, unfolding, keep on unfolding, and it's unending, very extensive. That's why you look at the Bodhisattva way, the various Mahayana Sutta when we share, the Wuliang Yi Jing, the Sutra of Innumerous Meaning, then the Miao Fa Lianhua Jing, the Ha Sutta, all those things. It is mentioned there, especially the one on virtue in the Sutra of Innumerous Meaning, Wuliang Yi Jing. That section is so beautiful. It's about the characteristics of the Bodhisattva, how they function, how their mind, when it is developed and transformed, how it behaves. All those are described there. Then after that, they are able to go through life and experience Bodhisattva way, the cultivation of the Bodhisattva over a long period of cultivation, their exposure, their what they call very mind rights of experience over the eons and eons of cultivation. All this will accumulate into a perfection. We call it paramitas. When that perfection comes, your understanding becomes different again. That being, every life they come, they connect very fast or not, they understand very fast or not, and what they have developed, they will inherit from the spiritual nature. So all this will happen. That's why it becomes very amazing, very beautiful. Good, Sadhu, you can continue.
So after the incident, that like what I said, then when I sit down and then recall, why I stopped talking the whole sentence, why I stopped abruptly. Then the meaning stand up. When I take care of my mind, the mind take care of me.
Mind take care of you, yes. Sadhu.
Because so that I don't create any more bad karmic
unnecessary karmic repercussion.
So that's one. Then maybe I share one of the meditation experience. It's about less than 1 hour during that lying down meditation. It's a bit different to me lah. By always remember the four supports, the awareness is prolonging longer and longer, and then at one stage, really understand there's very little thoughts to disturb. And then like what Brother Teo always kind of described to us, wherever I place the awareness, I can aware of that particular
portion. Sadhu. It becomes very sensitive.
Yes. It is when the thing is there, when some vibration or whatever sensation or senses in contact with that, then I just go there. And then last time I have to put in effort sometimes to say, no need finish. I just aware, and then
Sadhu, that is the most beautiful. Sadhu, very good.
Then there's nothing to be aware of. So correct. I just aware again, aware, and then remain there. Then very soon, either the subtle breathing internally will come, or it will just go off. And then when nothing again, just be with it, like what you
said. Sadhu, very good. Means completely no activity at all, no sankhara at all. That one is the most beautiful. Even the heartbeat or vibration or the subtle one,
no more.
Also no more.
Cannot detect the vibration of the heart.
Cannot already. Because that is your true mind. Stay with that. Don't do anything. Stabilize it. Then after that, when it stabilizes, your mind becomes so different. When you come out of it, but that is the stage where the mind really go into sati and stabilize. Then that sati that come out, it like everything become different. It's like you are able to be so sensitive. It's like magnified. Everything is like magnified. Then later on, if you want to test it or what, you try to move your awareness to wherever it is. You just stay there. Or the way it detects the movement and all those things. Because a lot of things normal people cannot detect. Your this silent mind that has been stabilized until there is no thought, until mind has entered satya, you can detect it or no. Wow, it's very different. And the activity and movement inside there is so different. Then you understand how that pure energy, actually, because of your pure mind, the true mind, how it can activate our nature inside there, and how the movement, everything, you can see the whole thing inside there. Yeah. But that one, you need to go through this one first, the stability, the silent, the quiet. This phase you have to go through first, until it become like very stable. Then when you come out of it, always remember to allow the mindfulness to continue. Means that mind that has entered sati on its own, because it's in sati, everything you do will be in sati. First is your kaya movement. You come out of it. It's like everything slowed down already. Everything magnify differently, your awareness and the thing is one. Then after that, your hearing, your seeing, your smell, your taste, everything is in sati. But initially, you have to like slow it down a bit to observe all this. Then after that, as you come out of the thing, like what Alicia has gone through, because sometimes you go in too deep because you meditate almost, I think, more than 45 minutes, almost 50 minutes or so. When you are very deep inside there, actually the conscious mind is not there. So sometimes you have to come out, release it and come out and let it go back to normal awareness. Then for the senses to be able to become normal again. And during that time, if your this sati or mindfulness can still be there, then that stage is very beautiful. It means not long, your mundane mind will collapse. Because with that type of pure understanding, the pure energy, it will trigger off a lot of transformation in your brain. Your brain activity, your memory, and all things. Because that one become non-grasping after you have that understanding that time. Then the brain become very different. It will not have the ability to function like a normal human being. Your heightened sensitivity and mindfulness and awareness and wisdom will tell you, if you want to suffer, you go and think. If you want to have problem, delusion, you go and think. Until you finally develop the understanding, think also like that, don't think also like that. And then the cessation keep on coming. Then as you go into the cessation for a longer period, longer duration, then that transformation become very different. Then it keep on happening. I remember after that 9 months, my Monday mind collapse. Then the whole thing shine forth and become so different. That's a awareness-based cultivation. There are a lot of things to it, one. A lot of things. Mm. All these are very beautiful. Good, Sadhu. Anyway, you allow me to share all this with all the conditions. You continue, yeah.
Okay. So when during I should say during the silence, during the very little of thinking, during that meditation period, it's very beautiful. It is just like, it's just like how to say, no obstruction, nothing.
Correct.
And
it's correct.
Very relaxed.
Yeah, the mind like very light and very free. Completely different. Sadhu. Yeah.
So later when I came out, all your description that you have taught us, it just
become clear to you.
It's not only clear, but it's a match. Match whatever.
Complete match, yeah. Sadhu.
I experienced just now, not today, just now, that time. What you describe was like, one by one, it materialized.
Yeah. Realize. Sadhu. Yes, there is a lot of joy on during that time.
Sure. Very joyful. So,
That is the right description.
Okay, that's one now. Since we have still have a little bit of time, I will mention today before 3 o'clock we are supposed to start today's class one also. About 2:30 I will have settled down. I still got half an hour, so I just lie down to wait for 3 o'clock. So from around 2:30 I look at the clock, so I just lie down and then very fresh after I took my bath.
So
I just lie down and then immediately like go straight to the subtle breathing, no more the normal physical breathing. Go straight to internal breathing and the heartbeat also very subtle. So like suddenly when I notice what I aware of after that when I still aware of the heartbeat the breathing, subtle breathing then the next moment that I aware of is thunder. Because Subang Jaya was raining, that's why
the thunder was very loud.
Appreciate Brother Jin Hao, brave the rain, brave the heavy to set up the room for us. So the next thing that I wear is a thunder. Then I just relax there and then I say it could be 3 o'clock already lah. So I look at the clock.
Yeah, yeah.
Only 2:45, right? 15 minutes only.
Yeah.
15 minutes. So from I'm quite sure for the first 5 minutes, maybe I'm in the total awareness, total relaxing on the breathing and the heartbeat, heart vibration. But after that, I have no record of whatever happened until the thunder came. So I don't know anything. I don't know anything during that time.
Yes.
So I don't know. So maybe Brother Teo can help me to
because when you are in that state of full awareness, complete awareness, like the time passed by very slowly. That's why you come out of it, it's only 2:45. But normal one, if you go in and silence everything and you don't want to know and you have a good rest, the time like very fast pass by on. Suddenly it's already 45 minutes or 30 minutes or 1 hour already. But this one, when you are fully aware one, where you do not allow the nature to rest and all thing one, it's like a lot of awareness has gone through and your mind, like you described just now, it's like you feel very you didn't use the word like, you feel like there is a lot of like very at ease and all those things. I use the word like very light, like no movement, no activity inside there. The mind is like what I explained to you all last time. The one that is heedful and heedless, the two minds are so different. This one hardly think, hardly any mental activity, hardly any even movement. Everything has slowed down, still, tranquil, peaceful, quiet. Then there is this understanding, the joy, everything inside there is the mind of a cultivator. So when you are fully aware during those stages, I remember I also went through it, the time like is slowed down until like more or less hardly any movement. Then at first I thought maybe after that it could have been half an hour or 45 minutes. Then I looked at the clock, I was surprised, about 10 minutes or less. So means that full awareness in that state is like the timeless. You know what is timeless? Timeless means no psychological time. No psychological time. Then the whole thing will go to that state. Then you will experience what you experienced just now, which is possible. Sadhu, to your image.
I thought there is the like total loss of consciousness.
No,
but
no.
I was not sleeping. I was not sleeping.
Yeah, correct. You're not sitting, yes.
Sleeping, I mean, I'm not asleep.
Oh, definitely. You are not sleeping, definitely. Because you didn't like let it rest. You let it rest, then it like different. It's like our normal meditation. Sometimes you already went through that thing, like 45 minutes or even sometimes 1 hour already. Then you come out. Then you feel recuperated and all that. But this one, you are able to be mindful like what you describe. You're not sleeping. But time like pass by very slowly because you are in that state of, I should say, near to the timeless. You are not really timeless because that awareness is still there but very subtle. So it's not a complete cessation. The complete cessation one is that timeless. So that timeless, the time like hardly move one or during that timeless. Because psychological time not there. So you don't feel anything. It's like you completely, it's like what we call the doctor put anesthesia in you. That period when you are knocked off, you don't have any memory or anything. The cessation also same one. No memory, nothing. Nothing. Even the pure awareness also gone. Nothing. But it's not the same as the one under anesthesia. Because this one is a cessation of the form and mind. The reason why your nature can know is because when you come out of it, that consciousness that actually come back to you from that nature, the coming nature, you can see the whole process, how it come back and how it split into the three areas of consciousness or something. Then how it make you like animate into a human being. I remember one part go to the heart. The first one that come back goes to the heart. Then from there it disperse out. One go to the brain where the brain start activity again. Then the other move to the Tantian to activate the activity and movement of that particular energy center. Then the heart one will respond. Then that nature that come out is awareness person, and that awareness very clear one. So all this become possible when you have developed them. So what you are going through is actually something that you will come to understand much later, which is the, I should say, cultivator of the way who really do it correctly. They will go through all this phase, where I also went through a long time ago. That's why I can understand when people who have done it describe it. This is the reason why the Buddha said, this Dhamma is Pachetang Veditabo Vinohiti. The meaning is, it can only be realized, listener, realized by the wise, Isho themselves. That's why all those who go through, they will understand. They will know this is it. It's so beautiful. So hopefully this one can help you develop better understanding. But on your own, you will also come to understand this later.
Sadhu. So the other aspect, like Bharatiya said just now, when I have totally rest my body, was just now the 45 minutes of meditation. I exceeded 45 minutes.
Definitely. Because you let your body rest. Then it's like the meditation, very nice. Then you recuperate, you become very fresh.
Like you say,
it's because you rest. Understand? You didn't maintain awareness. So that one, the time passed by much longer, much longer. That's why time is relative. Theory of relativity discovered by Einstein is correct. It's correct. Because when we are in the cessation stage, it's like the pure energy sees that nature. So that is the speed of light, you know. That's why that one, that Nibbanic experience is the timeless. Timeless. No psychological time at all. No mind at all. But the one that went in, the form of mind that sees and go in and come out, he will understand one. That's why that awakening after the realization on here, even a glimpse of it, that being will understand. There is no permanent unchanging entity, Sakkaya Ditthi, all those things they will understand. Then they read the Dhamma like become very easy to understand. How come last time all cannot understand? Then suddenly you read, because you have gone through that cessation, even a glimpse of it. It will make you understand. I remember after the Cameron Highland trip in 1989, when I came now after that experience, I came back, the Dhamma book, I read, like, hey, how come now everything I can understand? And the understanding is not what is described, no. It's the actual Dhamma, the things stand out. No? And I know what those things are, not what the author described. No? Because that thing cannot be realized until you have gone through it. Oh, then the cessation, the true mind, the silent mind that went. That's why my nature, after that, connect back to my past. And I inherited all those. That's why I can have the stability of understanding to describe to you all. You all are lucky because you have the benefit of my nature describing it to you. Otherwise, this thing cannot be spoken. Very few people have that stability to explain all this. Even you all go through, you all will know. You don't have the stability to explain to people. Especially Po Ching also know. So now you're going through, AB also same, even Alicia also same. But you all will find my description very beautiful because it's like you say everything match on. This is Pachetang. This is what the Buddha meant. Is it the Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized only by the wise, each for themselves. Not everybody can understand this because you have not gone through the awareness base. The realize the true Dhamma, you cannot understand one. Normal people cannot understand one. So this is beautiful, Sadhu.
Thank you very much, Abhadya, for all your guidance all these years. Thank you, Sadhu.
Yeah, my nature rejoices too for all your beautiful progress, Sadhu. Anything else?
No more. I will stop here for
okay. This. Good. So we can end also. Thank you. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Today's sharing is really good by Po Ching and Ingvi. Really, really beautiful. Okay, we will do the sharing on Maris now. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. Hita wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siriya yang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo sadakalina sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyam kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.